welcome up Pastor Candace to share the message for us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning, church. It's school holidays, and so there's a few people away, I reckon. And just so you know, I think Pastor Paul is in Singapore. Is he still there? Pastor Matt is in the UK visiting his family, but I'm here, and you're here. And I believe the Lord has a word for us this morning. So I want to ask you if you would just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think about the first miracle from Scripture that comes to your mind. A miracle that God did, a miracle that Jesus did. And I just want you to take a moment, just think about that miracle. Think about what happened in that miracle, the significance of that miracle. How the people there would have experienced that miracle, what it would have done in their hearts and their lives. I want you to hold on to that particular story that you've been thinking about. And we'll come back to that at the end. So you can open your eyes now. Back in February, it was our prayer and fasting week. How many of you remember that? Seemed like ages ago, eh? So back in February, we had this week of prayer and fasting. And I remember coming in one night, sitting over here to my left, and there were two worship songs that played that night. And both of them had the word miracles in the song. And so that word was just being highlighted to my spirit. And so I said to God, God, what are you saying to me about miracles? And immediately he dropped into my spirit Matthew chapter 8. And so I sat down and I got out my Bible and I just began to read through this chapter. And the first story is the story where Jesus heals the man with leprosy. The man comes to him and he says, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus responds to him, well, I'm not willing. No, of course he didn't. Jesus says, I am willing. And he touches the man, and this man is healed of his leprosy. And then we go on to the next story. And this man, who is a centurion, comes to Jesus, and he says, I have this servant in my house. He's in terrible suffering. Will you come and heal him? And Jesus again says, yes, I will come. But then the man says this, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and he looked at that man, and he said to the crowd as well, I have never seen such great faith in all of Israel. So the very people that he came to, the Jews that he was speaking and preaching to, he says, I haven't seen great faith among them, but I see it among you, this centurion, this Gentile. And then we go to the next story. Oh, and of course, that man's servant was healed. He goes back home and he finds him healed. And then the next story is that Jesus goes to Peter's mother-in-law's home. And he walks in. And he sees that she's sick. And so he goes over to her, and he touches her, and he rebukes the fever that is over her, and she's healed. And then what happens that night, I find it fascinating. And the scripture says that people just came to the house bringing the demon-possessed, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all that were sick. You can imagine this. Imagine it being your home. Jesus is there, and people are just flooding to the house one right after another. And Jesus is just welcoming them in, healing them, and casting out any demons in their lives. And then we get down to the next story, which is Jesus in his boat with his disciples. And a storm comes up, and Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Do you remember this one? And so the disciples start to freak out. And they go and they wake up Jesus. They say, Jesus, Jesus, help us. We're going to drown. Wake up. And Jesus, it says, woke up and said, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And then he gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and everything was calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And then they get to the other side of the shore. If that wasn't, you know, a great couple days, then they get to the other side of the shore, and two men that were so violent that nobody could go near them, and they lived in a tomb, come running up to Jesus. And the men don't actually even speak to Jesus. It's the demons inside of them that speak to Jesus and say, Jesus, what are you doing here? What are you going to do with us? Are you going to send us to torture before it's time? And you know the story. They ask to be sent into the pigs, and they're sent into the pigs. And these two men are left in their right mind, and they're healed and they're restored so they can go back and live with their families and their community again. And so I read through this chapter, and then I wrote in my journal, there is nothing impossible for our God. He is the God of miracles. Remember, he had given me that word, miracles. And then he took me to a chapter that is miracle after miracle, miracle. He is greater and he's stronger and he has more authority than any disease, sickness, storm, or demonic stronghold. And then he began speaking to me in that moment about the actual greatest miracle of all. And the greatest miracle of all, he said, is the miracle I do in the human heart. When I take that unbelieving heart and I make it a believing heart. I take that heart that's full of doubt and unbelief and I make it a heart full of faith. When I take that rebellious heart and I make it a humble and submissive heart. When I take that heart that is full of hate and I make it a heart full of love. These are the greatest miracles. When I take that unforgiving, bitter heart and I transform it into a heart that is forgiving and has a sweet spirit about it. When I take that angry heart, that restless heart, and I make it a peaceful heart that's at rest. When I take that heart that is completely lost and I make it found. These are the greatest miracles of all, he said. And then God spoke to me in that moment and he said, Candace, I want you to ask me for miracles. I am the miracle working God. Ask me for miracles. This past week, Pastor Trish was sharing with us. I've been doing this. I've been asking God for miracles. It's been a part of our Hope WA journey. As we go around from church to church leading nights of worship and prayer, we're asking God for miracles everywhere we go. Every single day, I'm asking God for miracles. And this last week, Trish sent me a text. And as many of you would know, with I-60, they've been out in Kalgoorlie and Northam and Carolyn and them. There's a whole team working together out there. And Trish sent through this testimony. I'm just going to read to you what she sent. She said, I've spent this week in Northam delivering anger and culture course. I had some young men and a young woman attending. Within the culture course, I always intertwine the subject of forgiveness as a best cultural practice for the workplace. The following day, these two things happened. Client number one, who is an addict, walked in and shared how he spent the morning up at one of the churches. He decided to need to talk to them and start sorting things out. There is a miracle of the heart happening in that drug addict. Second story. Next, the young lady wanders in and says, I want to tell you something. I went home and I decided to pray about forgiveness. I have a friend who I haven't spoken to for ages and I'm tired from it. So I prayed and then I sent her a text. We're catching up today. She said, but that's not all. She said, about 60 minutes later, out of the blue, a name popped up on my Facebook feed. And to make a long story short, I found my dad. I haven't met my dad. He left when I was a baby 23 years ago. And I'm going to get to meet him next week because he lives in Perth. She spoke to her dad for the first time ever, 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 Trish said. And she told me that she knew it was a miracle. That's the word she used. It was a miracle on the back of learning about forgiveness. Our God is the God of miracles, and the greatest miracles are the miracles he does in our hearts. When I preached this a couple weeks ago out in the hills at Eastgate Church, I stayed the night out there with a couple from the church, and as we were having breakfast that morning, I can't remember what she was talking about, except for the fact that she blurted out this question, why don't we see more miracles? And she had no idea that I was going to be preaching about it that morning. I hadn't told her. And it was just God's way of affirming this word and his desire for us to ask for miracles and to respond to the things that I'm going to share with you next. Recently, the Lord led me to read this chapter again. And he reminded me of something that he revealed the very first night when I read it. But then he also gave me a fresh revelation. The first thing was that he reminded me that night when I read it, the thing that struck me most was Jesus' willingness to heal and deliver. I mean, it started right in the first story where he says to the man, he looks him in the eye, the man with leprosy, I am willing. And throughout the whole chapter, we see this willingness. When the centurion says, will you come to my home? He says, I will come. It was an immediate response. Yes, I will. And then when he goes to Peter's mother-in-law house, he sees her and he just immediately goes to her. He wasn't even asked. He just moves towards her, the willingness of Jesus. And then, of course, he spends that whole evening delivering and healing people, the willingness of Jesus. And then I love the story of the storm. Because Jesus is sleeping. He's just had a flipping hard day. He's been up all night healing people, delivering people. Even for Jesus, that took a lot out of him. It's an emotional, spiritual thing that you are doing. And Jesus was human. And so he would have been extremely tired and exhausted for that. That's why he could be sleeping when there was a storm going on. And it says that they come and they wake him up. And Jesus, in his willingness, actually gets up and rebukes the storm. I reckon if that were me, I would have said, guys, I'm going back to sleep. It's going to be okay. Just, you know, ride it out the storm. But no, he was willing. Then, of course, when you get to that last story, that willingness of Jesus to take on those two demons, cast them out and to put two men, give them their lives back. I am willing, he says. And then the new revelation came a few weeks ago, and I was reading this again. And it came when I began reflecting on the mention of faith in these stories. Did you hear it? Because the centurion had what? Great faith. Jesus acknowledges him. He points him out. He says, of all the people that I've met, I've never met anyone who has such great faith as you do. And then on the other hand, you've got the disciples, the ones that who should have the great faith after all they've seen and experienced with Jesus. He has to say to them, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? And there's this stark contrast that we see in this chapter between great faith and little faith. Which of these two do you think demonstrates better the faith of the people of God in Perth? Or more personally, which one better describes you? Which one better describes you, Candace? Was God's question to me. Sometimes it's not easy being a preacher because, you know, you gotta have to hear these words first for yourself. Little faith versus great faith. This is what he revealed to me. First, he said, Candace, little faith is fueled by fear. You of little faith, why are you afraid? The disciples were afraid of being in a shipwreck. They were afraid of dying. That was the fear that was driving them in that moment. What do we fear? What keeps us from asking and believing for miracles or being used by God to do miracles? What is the fear that is alive on the inside of us? Is it the fear of man? What will they think if I? What will they do if I step out in faith and pray that, do that? Or is it a fear of failure? What if I'm wrong? What if nothing happens? What if I look like a fool? What if I'm made to be just embarrassed? What if I'm embarrassed because nothing happens? Come on. Can anybody relate to these fears? Maybe it's the fear of the unknown, just taking that risk. I don't know what's going to happen, and I can't go there. If I don't know, I'm not going to do it. Or maybe it's a fear of the devil or his attacks. You know, when we step out in faith, the enemy is always right there to try and mock us, to tempt us, to defeat us, to speak lies over us. You know, we hear stories about that all the time. And, you know, I stepped out in faith and then boom, all this stuff happened. And that is a reality when we step out in faith because we do have an enemy and we are in a spiritual battle. And so we got to be ready for that. But it shouldn't be a fear. Because we have a miracle-working God. Maybe it's a fear of losing. Maybe it's a fear of losing my family, losing my friends. If I step out in that place of faith and believing for miracles and God using me for miracles. Maybe it's losing my reputation. Maybe I'm afraid of losing my reputation. The question God is looking for us to honestly deal with this morning is, where does fear have a hold of my heart and my mind when it comes to my God and who He is and who I am in Him? Great faith is fueled by a revelation of authority. You see that? This man in this story was said to have great faith because he had a revelation and understanding of authority. He knew Jesus had authority to do what he was asking him to do. And for us, it's not only knowing and understanding and have revelation about our God, about Jesus who has this authority over every sickness and disease and can do miracles, but it's also having a revelation of our authority in Jesus. You know, think about this scripture that Jesus says to us, his disciples, I have given you authority on to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. I just reckon we don't even believe that. We're not living in that. We're not walking in that authority. I'm not to the degree that I believe he's asking us to. Understanding who we are in Christ, sons and daughters of God, is the key. And I know it up here, and we know it up here. I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, but I don't know it in here. I don't have revelation about it in such a way that it moves me to step out in faith, because I know that I know that I know. We need revelation, like this man had revelation about the authority that Jesus has and the authority that we have in his name. Do I know who I am in Christ? Do I understand the authority I have? Do this morning I need to ask for revelation? A few weeks ago when God gave this, ever since then, I've been asking God, God, give me revelation. Revelation comes from heaven to us. It's not something that we can manipulate. It's not something we can conjure up on our own. Revelation is something that comes from the heart of the Father. And I'm asking, Lord, will you take me on a journey and just release revelation in me of my authority in you so that I can walk more fully in it like Jesus did? That's the kind of heart and passion that he's looking for from his people. A people who want that, who desire that, that actually believe that that's possible for us to live and walk in. The first time God led me to share this word was, I don't know, probably a month and a half ago when I was in Busselton. And I was at a house church. And there was probably about 10 of us there. And after I shared the word, and we did some praying, the leader came out and she said, you know, just this morning, I watched a testimony that pretty much sums up everything that you have just said. And so we watched this testimony together. And so I want to invite you to watch this testimony with me. And I just want to give a bit of a disclaimer first, because I don't know this man. It's the first time I've ever seen him or heard him tell this story. I don't actually know if it's true. I don't have any I can't give you any evidence that this story is actually true. So I can't recommend him, I can't recommend his ministry, but what I am doing and saying this morning is that the story and the testimony that he shares is exactly what the word of the Lord was already speaking to me about. So we can listen to this testimony based on that fact, because it's God using this testimony to affirm his word to us right now. So I want you to listen from that perspective and enjoy, because it's kind of funny.
I was in Africa for a month and a half, and I'm tired. I'm in the bush. I fly over from there to south to Australia, from Joburg to Sydney. And, you know, and I work in Australia for a month and a half. Miss Hogan flew down to meet me and all this. It's awesome. I go over to New Zealand, and I work there for 3 or 4 weeks. And then I'm going home now, Miss Hogan and I. And I'm so pleased with God, because these long-haul flights are just absolutely torturous. And I do it all the time, lots now. And so when God takes it, and I like to stay with this one company, and they're always now, because of so many miles and all that, they let me go up in that awesomeness world. And so I'm so happy. Miss Hogan and I have been bumped up into first class, and I feel so important. So I get in line. I'm actually in line boarding the plane, and they call my name on the thing. And they say, we're sorry, but we got to bump you back. I apologize to you, but my humanity showed up. I said to the lady, no. Do you understand? I'm tired. I've been gone for 4 months. I am just tired. I've been in the bush hours, days, weeks. I just want to lay down on that thing. I just want somebody to come tuck me in and feed me T-bones. I want that. She said, not gonna happen this time. So I took my seat back there where they got the chickens in the crates. So I go back there. You want some water? Mm. Yeah. There was real Billy, really being nice. No. Okay. And this guy all of a sudden starts bucking. I'm going, are you serious? I mean, that joker is letting off gas. He's belching. He's banging the chair. He's having some kind of crazy fit. And Ms. Hogan just turned and looked at me. I told you. God didn't need you up yonder. He needs you back here. Now you get over yourself and act like who you really are. So you just might as well take it and shut up because she's right. The guy all of a sudden stopped. And I go, yeah. And Ms. Hogan goes, David, he's dead. I said, no way. She said, raise him from the dead. I said, I will not. If they cart him off, I can just push his chair up. See, I will publicly humiliate myself to show you how human all of us really are. And how our thoughts are not God's thoughts. They're not. That ain't right. You can't be like that. Well, why don't you stop and teach me? Okay. So, this is bizarre. Ms. Hogan, she's out of her mind. She just climbs up between, there ain't that much space. Sticks her head in there. You got a dead man over here. The woman, the wife, is freakazoid. Doctors are there. All these people's doing that stuff they do. Ms. Hogan's looking at me. Get up here and raise him from the dead. I will not. I have been doing this for 5 months straight. I'm having an off day. Okay, and I told the doctors, y'all excuse me, these women, I don't know, something's wrong with these ladies here. And the doctor goes, we can't do nothing. I said, I can. He said, the doctor said to me, the man's dead. I said, pfft. No, I work for a guy. And he is so awesome. His name is Jesus. And I understand you people. See, I did the you people word. You people don't believe him. But I'm fixed to give you a lesson in who he is. Now, I asked the head, purser. I asked that lady, I says, do you mind if I raise this guy from the dead? She looked at me. I don't know of any rules against it. I said, okay. All right. It's true. They haven't thought far enough ahead. So, I told you this was fun. That's the best one yet. Where's Miss Deborah? This is the best one yet. Best one yet. Thanks. Give my compliments to whoever made it. So, the lights come on. Oh. Well, it's a good thing I lost my embarrassment and my fear of man and my give a flying flip button. I'm serious. I put my hands on it. I'm over him now. All these people, you know what I mean? How close these people are. And they're just watching. Jesus, first of all, I apologize to you about my humanity earlier. But I can't seem to get over that part. So I asked you for mercy for this fellow right here. And would you please not let anything else happen so my wife will go to sleep? Now you come back here in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, everybody on that plane on our back there with the chickens, this guy, he went. We land in Los Angeles. And so I get up, you know. I'm getting Ms. Hogan's backpack and, you know, organizing my stuff because I didn't sleep. Ms. Hogan went right to sleep, and I don't know how many hours she slept, lots. Because, see, she felt safe again. She got her dead-raising friend back. Now, let me just tell you how awesome it is. We're getting off now. We're fixing to go through customs, right? And that man and that woman, that man turned around and he looked at me. He said, I ain't felt this good in years. I said, I need you to go to your doctor. I need you to get checked out. You're probably going to find yourself healed. I said, I don't know what the name of the thing was. It killed you, probably heart. Look, the way I saw you acting, it's probably a heart problem. Probably congestive heart failure is what it seemed like. I've been around it a lot. But go and have your heart checked out. I'm pretty sure you got a new one. He said, do you understand how awesome it is to have you sitting that close to me? I said, I do understand that. I do understand how awesome it is. And his wife grabbed my hand and she put her head down, her cheek. You understand? You understand this or not? Thank you. for giving me my husband back. I said, you know I didn't do that. She said, I know you didn't. But I saw you. You're not afraid. Jesus loves you. Boy, it just made me, I started crying. I felt humiliated because of my earlier attitude and all of this. But I had to be there. That's what heroes do. They raise the dead. They cleanse the lepers. They cast out demons. And they heal the sick. And they do it on purpose. See? All right.
Jesus is willing to do miracles. Often, we're kind of like David, though, aren't we? And our flesh really isn't interested in wanting to be used by God for a miracle. And this can even relate to prayer, I've found. We would rather stay asleep in the boat rather than get up like Jesus did and calm the storm, so to speak, through our praying and battling in prayer for someone and releasing a miracle in their lives. It kind of happens in all different ways in our lives, this unwillingness. Or if it's not our unwillingness, it's our fear that keeps us from being used by God to bring about a miracle. Did you notice what he said about being a good thing, that he had gotten over his being afraid of embarrassment, fear of man, and given a flying flip button? How many of us need to get over those? I don't know about you, but I didn't find it hard to put myself in his shoes. I think I would have done the exact same thing. I would have complained about me being moved back to the chickens. I would have said the same thing. It's my day off. I don't want to be bothered. I've been doing this for months now. I wouldn't have put myself out there in praying for a dead man. I totally can relate. And I don't think I would have done what he did. And that bothers me. Does that bother you? Right after I heard this story, I was on my flight to South Africa, and I was sure that God was going to put someone in front of me that was going to die. And so, like, when I got on the plane, I decided I got a plan. I'm getting on the plane first, and I'm going to sit in the corner, and I'm just going to go to sleep. So if anything happens, I won't know about it. I'm just kidding. But I have to be honest. We have to be honest. Our unwillingness and our fear are two of the things that are hindering more miracles from happening in our lives, in our city. I believe God is answering that question my host asked in her kitchen two Sundays ago. Why don't we see more miracles? Unwillingness and fear. Did you also catch what his wife said to him? You get over yourself and act like who you really are. Could God be saying that to us right now? Get over yourself and act like who you really are. Get over your selfishness, your unwillingness to count the cost, and start acting like who we really are. Sons and daughters of God who have the creator of the universe living on the inside of us, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in me. I now find this message extremely challenging. And I'm on a journey with it. And I'm inviting you into that journey today. I believe God has told us to ask for miracles because he's willing to release miracles. And because there is a season of miracles coming to us. But prayer always precedes the way. Prayer's the way. We begin asking for miracles and we begin dealing with the things in our own lives that are actually hindering those miracles. That's where it begins. And so will you join me? He is looking for people of great faith who know our authority and will pray for these miracles as well as be ready to be his hands and feet and voice to partner with him in bringing about these miracles. He's looking for John Hogans. And people can look at them and say, you don't fear. Jesus loves you. I want to invite you to bow your heads with me. And let's just ask Jesus some questions right now. Just ask Jesus right now, would you describe my faith as great or little? And just begin to speak to him about any fears in your heart that might be keeping you from praying for a dead man on an airplane. Speak to him about anything you've been challenged about through the word this morning. Do you need to ask for greater revelation about your authority as a son or daughter? Ask him. I'm going to close with a song on a video called The God of Miracles. I want to invite us to stand and use this song as a continuing prayer in response. Prayer of petition, a prayer of declaration about our God of Miracles. And what was that miracle that you thought of at the very beginning when I asked you to think about a miracle? Just bring that before the Lord. What does the Lord want to speak to you about that miracle? And how it might relate to your life, to your journey, to your heart, about what he's saying to you today. We're going to sing this song. And at the end, I'm going to ask us to just pair up with someone and to ask God for a miracle. And some kind of miracle. So I want you to just prepare and think about what is the miracle that God wants you to ask him for this morning. Let's stand and sing together. Let faith arise. Can we have a bit more volume, please? In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. Oh, and he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural. You're the God. Why don't you just partner up with someone right now? Just begin to ask God for miracles. It might be a specific miracle, or it might just be miracles in general, miracles of the heart. Pray for one another in regards to willingness and fear. Come against that fear in the name of Jesus over one another. God, we're sorry this morning. We're sorry, Lord, for the fear that is in our hearts and our lives that has kept us from believing for miracles, for being your hands and your feet for miracles. We're asking, Lord, for your supernatural love to invade our hearts and our lives. Your perfect love, cast out all fear. Come with your perfect love. Begin to release it into our hearts this morning, Lord. And Lord, and over the coming days, let it grow, get deeper and deeper and deeper. You are the God of miracles. We declare it. We declare it into the spiritual realm tonight over our lives. You are the God of miracles. You've done many miracles before. We have seen some miracles that you have done in our own hearts, in our own lives. And we say, Lord, this morning, do it again. Do it again. We are asking, according to what you have spoken, for miracles. Any way you want. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. And Lord, where our hearts are wounded because we've asked for miracles in the past and they didn't happen, we ask that your love would come and minister healing into those places as well. Heal our hearts, Lord, where they have been broken. Lord, let faith arise this morning. I ask for a release of faith, a loosening of faith over us to believe for the miracles that you want to do among us. You can just let the song play again. If anybody here needs a physical miracle, I want you to come up, and I just want to just pray over you quickly in closing. Anyone need a physical miracle? Just come, and I just want to pray over you for that miracle. Feel free to